All right. Well, welcome everybody to this Labor Day Sunday. For those of you who I haven't had the pleasure of meeting, my name is Jake Shukart, and I am the Director of Student Ministries here at Quest. And no, I am not normally up here, but we kind of had a weird sort of situation. So next week, right, we've got the baptism service, and for those of you all that have not been to one of our services, baptism, it is a great time. It really is a super fun experience. It's great to hear everybody's stories, those who are getting baptized, and so it's a lot of fun. I encourage you all, if you can be there, to be there. And so we have that next week. And last week, we just finished our series. And so we kind of had this weird in-between week. And Kevin said, well, Jake, it's kind of just this one-off. Do you want to do it? And I said, absolutely, because I love every opportunity that I get to come up here and to share from God's word with you guys. And it's always a blessing. And so I hope this morning that you guys will enjoy. I did not make my slides. I do not have that creative ability to do something like that. That was my lovely wife, Katie. So if you have any compliments on the excellent slide work, you can go find her afterwards and say great job. But this morning, as some of you all already know, we're going to be talking about worry. And I think that whether we're young or old, whether we're a believer in here, a non-believer, whether we're male or female, all of those demographics, that we all have things that we worry about, that we all have things that concern us in our day-to-day lives. And so before I jump into that, I want to give you guys a big idea that if you take nothing else away from this message, that this big idea will frame everything else that I talk about this week. And the big idea is we love the Lord, bless people, and the rest will fall into place. Love the Lord, bless people, and the rest will fall into place. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like one of those like wood planks you put up in your house, right, on a wall somewhere, some sort of like decorative piece, or you see on somebody's bumper sticker, or like that somebody like has as a tattoo or something, and you're not like really sure if they're serious about it or like how serious. But what I want to contend with you guys this morning is that in these next few verses that I'm going to go over here out of Luke chapter 12, that really this is what Jesus is going to say. That he's going to say that ultimately if you love your God and if you seek to bless people, then the rest of everything else will take care of itself. And so a lot of you in here are probably like, okay, Jake, that's really nothing new. That's nothing exciting. I've kind of heard this one before. But I hope that as I continue talking, that you guys will see in yourselves, as you have things that you're worried about, that you will see a different part of how we should approach those things that we need to take care of in life. And so the last Sunday, I was not here. Myself and our family, we were trying out for the Family Feud. They came to St. Louis. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And even if we don't get picked, it was a cool experience. But we got to go on the Family Feud and got to try out. And we actually made it to the second round and got an interview with one of the producers. And they're going to let us know, I think it's in 3 more weeks, if we made it on the active list or not. So it was pretty cool. But they always, you know, when they do these questions, they say we surveyed 100 people, the top 7 answers on the board, right? And so I'm just curious for you guys, just raise your hand or shout it out. What are some things that you worry about? I'm surveying 200 people or whatever it may be. What are some things, whether you worry about or you think that people just worry about in general? Just raise your hand or shout out some answers. Money, probably one of the biggest ones, okay? Something else, I heard kids over here, okay? Those of you all that are parents, I'm not a parent yet, but kids are a big worry. Something else? Teenage drivers, wow, very specific, okay? I'm sure you don't have any of those, right? There's no teenage drivers in your house? Okay, what else? I saw anything else. So we got money, we got kids specifically, aka teenage drivers. Okay, what else? Our health, okay, yeah. So health, our bodies, they're very fragile sometimes. And so what else? Sorry. Jobs, okay, yeah, where you're working, what you're doing, new jobs, finding a job, not liking the job you're in. Okay, what else? Saw a hand over here. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, just, you know, one of these. Okay. Anybody else? Couple more? Yes, ma'am. What was it? I didn't hear. Oh, okay. Worrying about our parents. Okay. That's a really good one. That's a great answer. And I'm sure also for those of us that maybe have some older parents too, that may be a worry for some of us. Okay. A couple more. Time, okay? Time to do activities, to spend time with kids, to get stuff done around the house. Time, okay? One more, maybe one more.
Future.
The future, okay? What do you mean by that, Kathy? What about the future?
What's going to happen in the future and what we should do to help ourselves in the future?
Great, okay. So those are your family feud top seven answers on the board, right? So we've got a lot of. That's a diverse group of answers. Right, of things that we worry about. Now, sure, if we kept going, we could do that for the whole 30 minutes and just talk about things that we worry about. I am a firm believer that if you're going to stand up here and preach, if you're going to stand up and speak to people, that you have to be very vulnerable and very open. And so I want to share with you guys the three things that I worry about the most as a 26-year-old, recently married man. The biggest one that I worry about, and this was more when I was younger, but it's still something that I worry about now, is I worried about missing out. FOMO, if anybody has heard that phrase, right? Fear of missing out. And I would always, when I was in college and even as a young adult, I always wanted to be doing things. Whenever somebody invited me somewhere, I was going to go. Even if I was tired, even if it was a little more money than I wanted to spend, even if it was this or that, I would go and do it because I was afraid that somebody would say, oh man, you missed out on this great time, or oh, this was such a good movie, ah, this, ah, that. I didn't want to miss out on stuff that was happening. I wanted to be the one who's like, oh yeah, I was at that thing. Oh man, you missed it, man. What? I wanted to be that person. And so I had a fear of missing out. And even now, you can ask my wife, Katie, that I like to do still a lot of activities because I don't want to miss out on the fun things that can be happening and the fun things of life. The second one, and probably a lot of people would identify with this one, is I was always afraid of not being good enough. I was afraid of not being a good enough student. I was afraid of not being a good enough athlete as a baseball and a basketball player. I was afraid of not being a good enough believer and following Christ like I should. And there were lots of other areas. And I think the worst thing ever was when my parents said, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. Oh, no, just yell at me, scream at me, like punish me to do any of that, but just don't say that phrase, because that was just a stake to the heart, and it was killed me, and I hated not being good enough. I hated disappointing people, even if that person was only myself. And then the last one, and this has been a more recent slash will be a future one, is I worry about being a good husband, and then down the road, I worry about being a good dad. You know, I just got married 3 months ago, and marriage in the first few months, it's an adventure, right? You're figuring some stuff out, and there's a lot of fun, amazing things, and there's also a lot of challenging things. And I think that for me, I worry about what that looks like to lead my wife well, to provide for her, to protect her. And then to take that a step further, I worry about what that's like for kids, for a family, for a whole group of people that are looking to me to be the leader. And that's a scary thing. That's an intimidating thing. That is something that I worry about. And I've probably got some other worries and some things. And if you want to know about those, you can ask me afterwards. But I wanted to give you guys three big ones that I, to this day, am worried about, things that concern me. And I'm sure that a couple of those things, or maybe all three, are ones that you identify with as well. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 31, and these verses look very similar to a section in the Beatitudes, and I just liked these verses. They had a little bit different language that Luke uses here, and so we're going to walk through these verses, verses 22 through 31. So I'm just going to read the first couple of verses here in this passage. It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat, or about your body and what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes.'" Now, most of us would probably say, of course, right? The body is more than food, it's more than clothes, life is more than those things, right? That's not a tough statement to figure out. But I think what Jesus is saying here, and I think what he's going to give a couple examples here in the next few verses, he's saying, look, it's real easy for us to get caught up in the mundane things of life. It's real easy for us to get caught up in the things the world says is important. It's real easy to get caught up in the day-to-day. But ultimately, I'm going to tell you in these next few verses that there's more important things than clothes. There's more important things than food. There's more important things than your job, than the car that you drive, than the house that you own, than the school that your kids go to, than the whatever. That there is more important things than those mundane things of life. Not that those things are unimportant, but there are more important things. There's bigger things. And he's going to go into it in the next verses. So he gives this example. He says, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? You know, I don't know if you've ever like seen a raven, but they are ugly birds. I was going to put a picture up there. I thought maybe I'd scare some of the children out here because they're just ugly birds. Like, they are not good looking birds. But the raven, kind of similar looking to a crow, that they don't put food in their pantry. They don't go to the grocery store. They're not worried about what restaurants they're eating at. And yet, God provides this ugly bird with the food that they need to survive. This dirty, grimy, kind of just nasty looking bird, God provides exactly what they need. And then Jesus says, don't you think that you're more valuable than a bird? Don't you think that you are more valuable than a crow? And all of us are like, well, yeah, duh, Jake, of course we are. But sometimes we don't live that way, right? Sometimes we worry so much about the stuff of life that we don't live as though we're more important than a bird. And I think that it's really evident because we don't understand who we are. We don't understand how incredibly amazing that we are. We are the only things of creation that were made in God's image. We are the only beings that are made to reflect His personality and His character. The only ones in all of creation, out of everything that was created, us. And within that, each one of us, there has never been anyone like us, there isn't anyone like us, and there never will be anyone like us. Even for you twins out there, right? Triplets, whatever. You are still so unique that there is never has been and never will be anyone like you. So why do we worry about these unimportant things when we are so unique and so special and we are made in God's image? Why do we worry about those things? And Jesus says, and who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Nobody, right? And in fact, as we found from some studies and doctors and things, worrying actually makes worse some of these health problems and actually probably shortens our life, or gives us at least a risk for a shorter life. And so it does. Worrying does the exact opposite of what we think it's going to do. And he says, so if you can't even add a single second, a single minute, a single hour to your life, if you can't even do that little thing, then why do you worry about these other things? Sometimes I don't know. He gives another example here in verse 27. He says, consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you of little faith? Now, I'm not a flower guy. As a matter of fact, I ripped up all of our flowers as soon as we got into our new house. I know, I'm sorry, Diane. I know you are a big flower person, and Kevin, which means you're a big flower person. Do we have flower? Who's a flower person in here? Like, you're like, oh, I like flowers. I have, okay. Oh, more than I thought. I am not a flower person. I do not like flowers. If it can live on its own and come back on its own, great, it can stay. But otherwise, it's gone. But I looked up some pictures of some lilies, and I think here in this verse it says wildflowers, but in my Bible it says lilies, and that's a good-looking flower. Like, there is lots of different colors, and there are lots of different types, and that's a pretty good-looking flower. I don't want flowers, but if I did want flowers, I think a lily would be a good choice. And he says, look, they don't go to work. The lily does not try to make clothes, or for us, doesn't try to go to the store and buy clothes to have that nice new parka for winter or that cool new swimsuit for the summer. Or doesn't worry about going into the air conditioning when it's hot or putting the heater on in the car when it's cold. Doesn't worry about those things. And yet, not even Solomon. Now, just to refresh our little Old Testament knowledge here, Solomon would have been the richest guy up to this point to ever walk the earth. The richest man to ever. So this dude is dressed in like just scarlet, just these purple and dark red, these amazing robes, like super comfy, like whatever the most comfy thing is that you can think you can put on in your most comfy outfit at home, just think about that. And Solomon was dressed better than that. He was dressed in the most just fabulous, most incredible, most amazing clothes. And yet, he was nothing compared to the lilies of the field, to the wildflowers. And I went to school out in Colorado for 4 years. And I tell you what, there are some times when you go into the fields when it's springtime and you just see all these flowers coming up. And I'm sure that some of you all have seen some of that. It's pretty amazing, right, when you see this those rolling fields of these gorgeous flowers. Not much compares to that. And so Jesus again says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you of little faith? Aren't you more important than a flower? Aren't you more important than an ugly bird? Aren't you more important? And if you are, why do you have so little faith in that? Why do you have so little faith, and why do you worry so much about what you think you need? Because then he says in verse 29, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, for the pagan, and do not worry about it, for the pagan runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Love the Lord, bless people, and the rest will fall into place. Because it's really easy to get caught up in life, right? To get caught up about worrying about trying to get that next promotion. To worry about our kids and what they're seeing at school and what they're facing. It's real easy to worry about our spouses and our marriages. It's real easy to worry about having the latest, greatest technology. It's real easy to worry about having a brand new car and a bigger house and a this and a that and a fill in the blank, right? That's easy to worry about that stuff. But Jesus says, look, those people that worry about those things, they don't know me. They do not know God like you do, right? Jesus is talking here to his disciples. He's talking to his boys. He's talking to the squad, the inner circle. And he says, guys, listen, I know that you have left your jobs as a doctor, as a tax collector, as a fisherman, as a this, as a that. That sometimes we don't know where we're going to stay. Sometimes we don't know what we're going to eat. But ultimately, God knows exactly what we need. And I think that ultimately it comes down to that question. Do we believe that God knows what we need? Because if we believe that God knows what we need in his exact right timing and when we need it, then we don't have to worry about those mundane things, right? Then those things, that doesn't mean we can't go to work or that we can just be a bum at school or that we can totally forget about our household chores or those things. But what it means is we don't have to worry about those things. We don't have to be consumed by those things. We don't have to let those things drive everything else that we do. Because if we believe that God knows what we need exactly when we need it, then that dictates how we spend our money, how we spend our time. That directs how we interact with our spouses, with our kids, with our neighbors. Everywhere that we do, everywhere we go, everything that we do gets dictated if we believe that God knows what we need. And if we don't believe that God knows what we need, well, then of course we got to worry about our job. Of course we have to worry about where we're going to get something to eat. Of course we have to worry about our cars and our houses and our kids and our this and our that. Of course we do. But Jesus contends here that is exactly what the world does. That's exactly what Satan would have you do. That is exactly the thing to distract you from me. So I'm sure that some of you all have been thinking about some of the things that you worry about. I'm sure that as I'm talking, some of those things are coming up in your mind. And what I want you guys to hear again this morning is that if we love the Lord and bless people, the rest will fall into place. And so ultimately, we can do one of two things. We can either spend our time worrying about the things of this world. We can spend our time worrying about those things that ultimately have no eternal significance. Or we spend our time living in the freedom that comes from Christ. Let me say that again. We either spend our time worrying about the things of this world, or we spend our time living in the freedom that comes from Christ. And for those of us in this room that are believers, right, we're like, okay, yeah, of course, living in the freedom that comes from Christ. But sometimes we look at our lives and we don't live that way, right? We still live worrying about these things that won't last, about these things that won't be forever. And for those of us in this room that maybe are just kind of investigating this whole Jesus thing, or maybe you would say, I'm totally not a believer in here, that I want you all to understand that, one, you are more valuable than a raven, than an ugly bird. You are more valuable than a lily of a field. You were made uniquely in God's image to reflect his character. And that God knows exactly what you need before you even know that you need it. And he will deliver it in his perfect timing. And ultimately, you all that are not believers in this room, or that are questioning or that are unsure, right, you probably have a lot of things on your mind, things that worry you, things that concern you. And Jesus did not come for us to be worried about those things. He did not come down from his heavenly throne. He did not come and live 30 plus years, sacrifice himself on the cross, suffer this horrific death, and then rise again from the grave 3 days later for you to be worried about the unimportant things of life. He did not come for that worry. He came so that you could have freedom in his name. He came so that you could have freedom from sin. And believe it or not, worry is sin. And I know that in here, we've got some people that are big, big, big worriers. We've got some people that aren't worriers at all, and a lot of things in between, a lot of people in between. But ultimately, we must live in the freedom that comes from Christ, and freedom from our sin, freedom from the worry that Satan would love for us to get caught up in, that our world would love to be concerned with. We don't have to worry about those things anymore because we have freedom in Christ. And I have this video, and we have shown it in a youth group before. It's a pretty neat video that speaks specifically to our time. And so I want you guys to listen and to watch this video right here.
These are roughly 28,835 jelly beans. I counted out 500 of them and used those to weigh the rest. In this pile, there's one jelly bean for each day that the average American will live. You might have more beans in your life, or maybe less, but on average, this is the time we have. Here's a single bean. It's your very first day. A special day, but kind of a rough day on everyone involved. Add 364 more and you have the first year of your life. Now, for a sense of scale, here are your first 15 years. 5,475 days, which brings us to the threshold of adulthood, and at that moment, this is the time that we have left. And this is, on average, what we will do with all that time. We will be asleep for a total of 8,477 days. If we're lucky, some of that time we'll be sleeping next to someone we love. We will be in the process of eating, drinking, or preparing food for 1,635 days. We'll be at work, hopefully doing something satisfying, for the equivalent of 3,202 of those days. 1,099 days will be spent commuting or traveling from one place to another, maybe a little bit more if you live in LA. On average, we will watch television in one form or another for a total of 2,676 days. Household activities, like chores and tending to our pets and shopping, will take another 1,576 days. And we will care for the needs and well-being of others, our friends and family, for 564 days. We'll spend 671 days bathing, grooming, and doing all other bathroom-related activities. And another 720 days will go to community activities, like religious and civic duties, charities, and taking classes. After we remove all those beans, this is what remains. This is the time that we have left. Time for laughing, swimming, making art, going on hikes, text messages, reading, checking Facebook, playing softball, maybe even teaching yourself how to play the guitar. So what are you going to do with this time? How much of it do you think you've already used up? If you only had half of it, what would you do differently? What about half of that? How much time have you already spent worrying instead of doing something that you love? What if you just had one more day? What are you going to do today?
So that's not meant to be like a Christian video or anything, just a general kind of generic thing, right? The things that they shared are pretty much things that we have to do, right? So you've got 2,700 plus days of free time to do with what you want. And for, again, like they said in the video, for some of us it's going to be more or less. Ultimately, do you want to spend those times worrying? Do you want to spend that time consumed with the things that will fade away, the things of this world that will fade away? Are you going to spend those times living in the freedom that comes from Christ? I want to give you guys this verse out of Galatians chapter 5. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Christ has already set us free. He has come to set us free from the bondage of sin. He has come to set us free from our worry. So if we continue to say, thanks, Jesus, but I'm going to stay here. I'm going to keep myself chained. I'm going to let the sin continue to entangle me. Then we're just being ridiculous, right? That's just stupid to live that way. That there is no reason that for those of us in this room that know who Christ is and what he has done, that we should continue to live that way. And so for those of us that haven't in this room, for those of you all that haven't, it's there. It is a free gift of God that you don't deserve, and yet he gives it to us all the same. And so for those of us that have, why do we worry? Why do we let ourselves get consumed? Because Christ has already shown us who he is. He has already told us what he has done and what he will continue to do. He has already set us free from our yoke of slavery, from the sin that so easily entangles, from our worry. So why do we let ourselves continue to be consumed by it? And so it's my contention that ultimately we need to love the Lord, look to bless people, and the rest of everything else will fall into place. And we finish here, and the band comes up, I'm going to have my helpers in the back here. They're going to pass to you guys out some note cards. Go ahead, fellas. You guys can come up. And so everybody, I want everybody to take a little note card. And if you have a pen, a lightly colored pen, or they're going to be passing out some Sharpies and some different things, I want you guys to take this note card. And I want you to take a Sharpie, try to make sure that everybody has a light-colored Sharpie and a darker-colored Sharpie. What you're going to do is, on your card, is you're going to write down what worries you. What things worry you, specifically. Not your wife, not your kids' worries, your worries. Okay? Go ahead and write those worries down on that card. And like I said, a lightly colored Sharpie, or if you have a lightly colored pen, something like that with you. So these guys will be passing those out somewhat quickly, I hope. And I want you guys just to take a minute and go ahead and write those things down on those note cards. Go ahead and do that for me real quick. share pens and Sharpies with the person next to you. Write down your worries. What concerns you? What do you get anxious about? What bothers you in the day-to-day? Write that down in, like I said, a pen or a lightly colored Sharpie. Do that for me right now. I think everybody's got one. So once you write down your worries, and you might have one or two, you might have 10 or 20, write those down on the one side of the note card. And after you're done writing down your worries, after you have written those things down in, I hope, a lightly colored Sharpie or pen, and if you need another Sharpie, I think Chris over here has got a few more. If you need one, just raise your hand. He'll come around. After you write down on the one side your worries, your concerns, the things that give you anxiety, I want you guys to take a black Sharpie, and there's a handful of them going around, or take a dark colored Sharpie. And I want you to write the name of Jesus over those worries. I want you to write the name of Christ over those worries, because Christ has come to give you freedom. He has covered those sins. He has covered that worry so that you need not be concerned with it anymore. And then once you write over in big, bold, dark letters, you write the name of Jesus, you write the name Christ over your worries, then I want you to take that card home, and I want you to put it on your mirror as you're getting ready in the morning. I want you to put it on your nightstand. I want you to put it in your car. I want you to put it somewhere that you're going to remember it, that you're going to see it every day, so that you know that when you look at that card, when you see that card with your worries underneath and Christ in big bold letters over the top of it, that you no longer have to live in slavery to your sin, to your worry. You no longer have to live as a person that is still concerned with the unimportant mundane things of life that will disappear. Now hear me this morning. Again, I'm not saying that you should just be lazy at your job and not strive to be the best. I'm not saying that it's sinful if you have a nice house or a fancy car or a big 70-inch TV or a this or a that. I'm not saying that your kids shouldn't do well in school or any of that stuff. But what I'm saying is that when you worry, when you let those things consume your thinking, consume your life, consume how you spend your time, your money, your effort, your energy, then that indeed is sin. And Christ did not come for you to be worried about that. So take that card and in big bold letters write over the name of Christ over those worries and put it somewhere where you're going to see, so that every day you can look at that card and when those worries come up, you can say, I'm free. I've been set free from those things, so that ultimately you can love the Lord, bless people, and let the rest take care of itself. So I'm going to pray, and then the band is going to finish you guys up with a couple songs. Father God, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to speak on this idea of worry. God, there's a lot of things in this world that we have to take care of. Things that just need to happen in our day-to-day lives. Things with ourselves, with our jobs, with our kids, with our houses, with our neighborhoods, with our schools. And God, I pray, though, that all of those things that have to happen, all of those things that make life go, God, that we would never, ever let any of those things consume us. That we would never, ever let any of those things take up all of our time, all of our effort, all of our energy, all of our money. Because you did not come to this world for us to continue to be consumed by our worry. You did not come to live and die on the cross, this horrible death, for us to continue to be slaves to our sin. God, I pray that as people look at this card, as they see their worries covered by your name, that they would be reminded every day that they live in freedom from you. And I pray that if there are people in this room that have not experienced that freedom, that have continued to live their lives for themselves and let the world tell them what they should worry about and what's important, I pray that those people in here this morning would realize what they have in you. this amazing gift of grace that they don't deserve, that none of us deserve, God. And so I pray that for all of us in this room, that we, whether it's our first day or our millionth day, God, that we would all, from here on out, the rest of this week, live in your freedom. Live free of our worry. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.